Blog Talk Radio.
Come on and put your hands together, everybody. Yeah.
The devil told Eve she could eat from the tree. She would surely die. Told Adam it's alright, and they both took a bite and lost their lives. Now he tells you, do what you wanna do. God will understand. So now you feel justified. You do your thing on the side and still say amen. Go through greeting.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Contender for the Faith broadcast. And yes, we are the Ready Church from YouTube. I tell you, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to do what? Rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you, we go from one week to the next, and I tell you, there's always something going on. Things are changing. People are changing. But thank God, he still remains the same. His power has not diminished. He's still saving, healing, set free and delivered. In spite of what we see going on around about us, our hope and our trust and our faith must stay in him on today. We'll be coming from Jeremiah 23 and 14. It said, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They committed adultery and walk in lies, and they strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doeth return from his wickedness. They are all them unto me, and Sodom, and inhabited thereof of Gomorrah. I tell you, there's horrible things going on in the house of God on today. The word of God said that adultery, fornication, and divorce and just everything going away from the original plan and the things of God on today. I tell you, every time I look around, it's so depressing. You know, when the enemy tries to wear you down and try to, you know, just push you down, but you must stay aboard and stay on focus. Keep your focus on the Lord on today. In spite of what you see and in spite of what's going on around about you, keep your faith in the true and living God. On today, I have my guest with me on today, Sister Tracy, and I have Ajudanda Lahente from the YouTube channel on today. We'll be discussing what we see taking place on YouTube with this young lady, Kiki Shears, on today. I'm telling you, Lord have mercy. I know that the church said one time, you know, because of Generation X, that's what they was calling it, because so many young people weren't going to the house of God. And I believe that the ministers, they didn't seek God's face and ask him for instruction, but they went on their own and tried to figure out a way to draw the young people into the house of God. And look what we have on today. Lord, have mercy on the church on today. But I tell you, Sister Tracy, are you there?
Hello,
Sister Tracy.
Yes,
how are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. Ain't
taking the Amen. Hello, Ready Church. God bless everyone.
God bless
you. How
are
you doing, Dehante? How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I am just wonderful. Just I bless God for this day.
Oh yes. Oh yes. I tell you, me and you talked on yesterday, and I tell you, Lord have mercy, I was stirred up just like you. You know, we see all this stuff that's taking place in the house of God. We got to hurry up and be about our Father's business. Time is running out. Jesus is soon to come. In spite of people saying he's not coming, oh, yes, he's coming. Get ready. Ready or not, he's coming.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen. I'm like, Lord, can you come today? This foolishness is just getting out of hand.
Oh yes.
I was online, you know, thinking about how excuse me, Karen Clark and Dorinda and Yolanda Adams and I think Kim Burrell was in on it too, made all these excuses for why they brought Missy Elliott into the studio with them and recording albums with her and letting her write and produce for them. And, you know, we're trying to reach her for Christ. And so I'm like thinking, okay, let me go and research Missy, see what she's doing today, see if they were fruitful in their endeavors. Oh. And she's just as filthy now as she was back then.
Lord have mercy.
Which means that your works, what you did was unfruitful. Now, nothing that God is involved in is unfruitful.
Amen.
And, you know, we're all familiar with that scripture where Christ said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." And he was talking about, you know, he's getting ready to go to the cross and be lifted up, and we understand that. But
yes,
because our God is so awesome, there's another way to look at that scripture that doesn't contradict, which to me says that he's also saying, if you lift me up before the people, I will draw them.
Yes.
And what's been
right.
happening is that these people have come up with all these new, well, let's come up with these ideas to reach them. We got to reach the people. And Jesus never said reach anybody. He said go out and preach the gospel. Go out and lift me up before men. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw men's hearts unto the Lord.
That's right.
It's not our job to do that. Our job is to lift him up before men, is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to let people know what he did for us. Now, I was looking up where the scripture talks about, where it says, I have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. And what really blew my mind was when I came across a few other scriptures that had the word unfruitful. I went and looked up the word unfruitful, and one of them, let me see where it was, in Matthew 13 and 22, it says, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And when I read that, I was like, wow, God, it's just amazing how your word constantly testifies of itself. You know, one scripture doesn't cancel out another, but it testifies of the other. And is that not what they're doing? They're letting the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, because let's just be real, you brought Missy Elliott in to your studio so that more people would hear about you and they would buy your CDs.
Right.
You weren't concerned about Missy's soul. If you were concerned about Missy's soul, you would have preached to her about Jesus Christ and that he came here. You would have made her understand the damnation that she's headed for if she doesn't change.
Right.
But allowing her to write and produce for you, that was all about your pocket change.
That's true.
Wanting to be famous, wanting to, you know, well, we got to reach the people that are missing, listen to Missy, because if they buy Missy Elliott's CD and she puts our song on her CD as well and they hear how bad we are, because, you know, we are the Clark sisters, then they'll be like, ooh, who is that? Because, you know, it's amazing how you can listen to someone sing and it'll get all down in you, but that don't mean it's God.
That's true.
That don't mean
That's
it's
true.
God. And the thing is that people will hear them sing, and they'll hear the glorious harmony and woo, and it'll get down in you, and it'll make you feel good, and it'll, you know what I'm saying? It will draw you to something, and you'll run out and buy their CD, and, you know, hey, that's what they wanted.
That's true.
But when I look at Missy Elliott today, that tells me that your works were unfruitful.
Yes,
so what does that say about God? What does that say in the minds of the people looking at you that's supposed to be representing this almighty, awesome, all-powerful, all-knowing, holy God, that he couldn't reach Missy through? Because people are going to look at them, you know, because of the respect that they have before the people.
Uh-huh.
They have a level of respect because they're the Clark sisters, because they've been in this thing. And, you know, people weren't researching and realizing that when they first came on the scene, they were copying the world.
That's
so
true.
It's never
That's
been
true.
A God agenda with them. But they have so much clout in the industry and before the church that people look at them and they think, oh, yeah, this got to be God because it's the Clark sisters. But what
right.
does that say to people when they go to a Missy Elliott concert and they don't see a change in her? What does that do to the anointing in the eyes of men? Because I know that the God that I serve, nothing he does is unfruitful. His word says, I send a thing out and it will not return to me void.
Yes. Confident.
And I understand. I know I can hear the arguments now. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, everybody don't come around as fast as everybody. Sometimes it ain't overnight. Sometimes it takes me. Maybe they give them time to keep working on her. They can work on her all day. Until they do this thing the way God set forth for it to be done, it will continue to be unfruitful.
That's right.
And that spills on over into Kiki.
Yes.
She gets on the stage at MegaFest, and I saw a video of her on YouTube singing that dumb song, Flesh. She called, her title of it is Flesh Don't Kill My Vibe by some guy. I can't remember his name. The original song is the B word.
Lamar.
Lamar, right. Yeah. The B word, Don't Kill My Vibe. My first question to Kiki is, how is it that you could listen to that song and get through to the end of it and it not disturb your spirit? That's question number one. Question number two is, what is it about you as a quote unquote believer that you were drawn to that song in the first place?
That's the truth.
My question number three is, how do you as a quote unquote believer stand on a stage after you've gone into a studio, you sat with musicians, you sat with writers, and you redid the words to this filthy song, and you stand on stage before what you think is a holy God and sing that song, and he is not able to let you know that, honey, this ain't me, this ain't got nothing to do with me. You know, there's something in your spirit. There should have been a check to let you know this ain't God.
That's true. Sure.
And the people just waving their hands and hollering. And there was a lady, there was a young lady on the YouTube page where she was singing this song. And she wrote in and she was saying something about people make such, you know, Christians, that's why people don't want to come to Christianity, because Christians make such a big deal out of stuff that's petty. Well, like we talked about on Sunday, you know, when you go and you read the story of Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, when God kills you dead instantly by fire and then tells your father, I dare you to shed one tear.
Right.
There is nothing petty about that.
Sure is.
There is nothing petty. People are dying and going to hell every day.
Yes.
And you are so into this song. I mean, I went and I watched it was very painful for me. But I said, I want to hear the original song. And I know the Holy Spirit was keeping me, but I listened to that song, and the thing about it didn't make it any easier was I listened to the song by way of watching the video to the song.
Yeah, we did too.
If the words, first of all, I'm like, what is he even talking about? There was no substance, you know, at least if you, and I am not advocating this in no way, shape, or form. I just need to show a comparison. At least if it's a Babyface song, there's some substance to it. He's talking about something. Believers shouldn't be listening to Babyface. Let's just be real. You shouldn't be listening to Babyface because it's all ungodly. But at least there's something to it. You know what I'm saying? There was nothing to this song, so I'm trying to understand what is it about this song that drew you to the degree
that
you would go in the studio and record it and then sing it before the quote-unquote people of God, because we're talking megafest.
Right.
So I got to put my little quotes in there, do my little qualifiers. I'm just really, I'm like stuck and I'm kind of lost, because at least let it be a song that was talking about something. This song was empty from beginning to the end, but then when I watched the video, oh, my Lord, you talk about somebody getting angry. You got a guy faking and playing with being baptized, and then he's like, man, my eyes are burning. And the guy says, oh, I thought you wanted to be baptized in vodka.
Yeah. Blaspheming.
And I'm like, the way these people have such it's not even that they have disrespect for God. It's like they have I don't even know what word to use. They have such a disdain against God. How do you then pick up their works and bring it to the house of God? And then, you know, I was watching, you know, you flip through videos on YouTube, you know, the videos always have like a picture. And there was a still picture of her sitting in this chair with her head down. You could tell she was crying. Like, oh, what's Kiki crying about? So I clicked on the video. She's on TBN with Donnie McClurkin.
Oh,
and he's going on and on. And at the time, she was 17. So I don't know how old she is. I think she's in her 20s now. But at the time, he was going on and on about, oh, you know, you have all this anointing, and you 17 years old, and you doing it for God. And she's sitting there, and, oh, I just don't understand this. I have such a powerful anointing, and I don't know why, God. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, you better wake up, because your tears are for nothing, because what you're doing is not God. Because you can sing and work up a crowd. I mean, listen, I'll be real with you. If you watch Kiki doing praise and worship, you get drawn in. Because the girl can sing. But the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance.
Right.
And if you don't have enough sense to know that this vibe song that you've decided to turn into a worship song, I mean, even when you change the words, the song still has no substance. It's like, what are you talking about?
Right.
What are you even talking about? He's talking about in the song, I got my drink and my something. You know, you all in a church at somebody's funeral, and then y'all leave the funeral. You in a car with a bunch of girls, and y'all just drinking and just doing all kind of stuff. So I'm really appalled at how you call yourself a believer, and you are so full of the world that you can't see the demons that are surrounding you.
That's true.
But you think it's the anointing of the Most High Holy God.
Well, have mercy.
I'm like, Lord, you know, don't let me go off this air, because you know how I get.
Yeah, go ahead. I already knew you were fired up on it yesterday, so I said, well, okay, Sister Tracy. I said, hey, I'm not on today. I'll call you tomorrow. Let it out.
I was sitting at my desk, and I said, let me get up. I said, let me go get up and go down, sit in my car, and call Sister Harris. I said, this just don't make no sense. I mean, and I look at my God, and I look at colors.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I look at, you know, my living room, my sofa and my love seat are like a forest green, just this rich green. And then I look at, you know, you go outside and you see the blue sky, and then you see the white clouds. And, you know, when a storm is coming, the clouds are a different color. And, you know, you look at the grass, and then you see the different colors of flowers, and I know here in Ohio we see a lot of red birds, and you know, you sometimes you see blue birds, or you see yellow birds, or you sit up and you study the hummingbird and how it moves, and I mean, it's just, you know, when you look at man, I mean, thank you, Holy Spirit, Jesus, you get up in the morning and you didn't have to unplug.
All right.
You breathing, unexplainable. How do you explain that? What is it that makes man work?
Mm.
You understand?
know what I'm saying? I'm like,
yeah.
I open my eyes and I see. Why do I see? Because God said so.
He's so awesome
that when he was chastising Job, he said, one of the things he said to Job, and every time I read this part of Job, I just start laughing because I'm like, God, you're just awesome. But he said, one of the things that he says to Job is, I think it was the ostrich doesn't have enough sense to know that her foot would crush her babies because God didn't give her the sense to know. Not just because she's stupid, but because he didn't give her the sense to know. And it's like this creator who just decided one day that you should be needs you to go get songs from the world?
Yeah.
I'm like, what kind of picture of him has been painted for you? Because I write songs, and when I say that, I say that in humility.
Uh-huh.
I don't sit down and think up songs to write. God will sing something in my spirit.
All right.
And most of the time, I don't write them down. Sometimes I can remember that there are songs that God has given me that I remember every word, you know, and then there are sometimes songs that God gives me, and I'll sing them to him in the middle of the night, and then I may never remember that song again. But the bottom line is it's to his glory. But God has never given me a song from the world and said, well, just change the words up a little bit. Because he don't need the devil stuff.
That's
this same God that you bring used goods to didn't take the devil's ability to create music when he kicked him out of heaven.
Come on now.
And Satan is the baddest musician you will ever meet. He doesn't play the organ. He is an organ. But God didn't fret about him leaving. God didn't say, oh, but you know, wait a minute. Let me go get the strings out of his arms. No, God was like, you know, get out, take all your stuff with you.
All right, that's right.
You know, and it's like we really got, I mean, come on. I pray for Kiki because, you know, I blame her parents, but
yes.
She's a grown woman now. You know, her parents are accountable because of the God that they paraded in front of her. He will hold them accountable for that. But she's at an age of accountability. And she's just as able to open her word as the next person is able to open their word and see who this God is that you're supposed to be singing about.
Right.
And I can't listen. I mean, there are times when I've gone into Walmart and had to leave. I usually can tune it out if I'm in a place where I can't control the atmosphere, but there have been times when the music in Walmart is just too, and it's like, you know, I have to do this another time, and I leave. But to me, a believer, and I understand that our walk, we get to different stages at different times, and I have not always been this way. I was saved and I'm still listening to the music, and God took me through stages. I understand that. I'm not condemning anybody, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's okay for you to listen to worldly secular music, because it is not. If you have not got to that place where you're convicted in your soul, then you need to pray and ask God, Lord, show me if what these people are talking about is true, because there's power in music. Music is not amoral. There's power in music, and it affects the way that you think. It affects the way that you feel. It affects the way that you support and what you don't support.
Right.
And we've got to get to a place where, you know, and I've had people say to me, well, you know, God ain't dealing with me on that yet. Let me tell you something. If the words come out of somebody's mouth and it hits your ears, you are ready. Because God doesn't present anything to you he is not ready to deal with you on.
All right.
So if you are listening to precious program, I bless God for Sister Harrison, for the Ready Church. I just bless God. But if you're in listening and you're hearing what we are saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, God's dealing with you today. If you never heard it before today, if you've been ignoring it, God is dealing with you, because he's not going to allow anything to come into your hearing that he's not willing to deal with you on. Stop supporting these people. Stop standing behind these people. Stop buying their CDs. Stop investing into this debauchery, this stuff that's leading people away from God, because it's not of God. God isn't pleased with this stuff.
Amen.
You're presenting to the world a weak God who is so inefficient that he needs the devil stuff. Well, let's go get this song because, you know, I got to find a way to reach him. Well, what Jesus died for? You're going to tell me all that Jesus went through wasn't enough and that the world's music is, you know what, you know, it's 2013, you know, the word is outdated. No, his word is truth. It says his truth endures throughout all generations. That means,
all right.
Lord, please let this not be. But if the world lives to see the year 3000, his word from Genesis to the maps have not changed.
Amen.
He is a holy God. He is to be honored. What he said to Aaron about after he killed his son, he said, I am to be regarded as holy. You're not going to come to me any old raggedy kind of way.
All right.
And people say, well, you know, they've been doing it. Yeah, they've been doing it because Jesus came and brought grace and mercy. So it's
that's
by
right.
grace and mercy. Well, it depends on how you look at it now. I'm going to say this. It's by grace and mercy that you're standing on the stage of MegaFest and didn't get struck down immediately and just blow up. But maybe you didn't because that wasn't God's place in the first. You weren't in a place of holiness, so maybe that's why you're getting away with it. I don't know. But I'm just like, Donnie McClurkin, I'm like, look, you sit here. You've been delivered from homosexuality.
All right.
You
know
the power of God. How dare you sit there? I'm going to say this again. When the Lord showed this to me, it really, really opened my eyes. And when he said this to me when I was doing a PowerPoint presentation. He said to me, you cannot hide the absence of my presence. Now, you've experienced God delivering you from one of the most powerful demonic influences on the earth, and that's the spirit of homosexuality and lesbianism. They say that's harder to break than cocaine. I don't know. I've never done drugs. I don't know. But they say that's one of the hardest things to break. You've experienced the power of God. How do you look at this 17-year-old child that's been misguided and hooray and hurrah this debauchery that she's doing? Telling her she's anointed, and then he had the audacity to look at her and say, you know, you the one Missy Elliott listens to. Why was that important? What kind of credence was that? You know, if you're going to give me an accolade, then say to me, you the one God calls on when he wants somebody to hear his word. Don't talk to me about Missy Elliott.
Y'all have mercy.
I was sitting, I was watching this interview, and I was like, Father. Then, and I don't know if he interviewed Kiki before he interviewed Karen, but at one point he was talking to Karen, and Kiki wasn't on the stage anymore. But he was talking about, you know, oh, you people don't know what you've been. She's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's so anointed, and people don't know what we go through. And she was telling a story about how she almost died. Well, you went and had weight loss surgery. You went and had weight loss surgery, and things went wrong. Honey, that's not the kind of struggle that we go through when God has anointed and appointed and called us to do. It's not because of something. That's a decision that you made.
That's right.
You know, that would be different if you just got sick. Yeah, it'd be different if you just got sick and went through something. But no, you went to have weight loss surgery, and it didn't go right. You went to go and do something to your body that reversed whatever it was that God did in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So you was out of order.
Right.
But every time she gives her testimony, that's the only thing you could talk. Is that the only thing you've been through? And don't get me wrong, people. I'm not belittling her testimony at all. I think it is a good thing that you testify that God healed you and brought you back from death. I honor that and I thank God for that. I'm not belittling her testimony at all. But every time you talk about your anointing, that's the only thing that you could talk about. And understand me when I tell you, when God anoints you to do his work, it's more than one story for you to tell.
Amen.
God takes you through a lifelong, I just turned 49, and if I tell you my entire life, thank you, Jesus, that you blessed me to be able to say I suffered for your sake. It's an honor, but let me tell you, it's not easy.
That's right.
It's not something that you easily embrace. Because it's pain all the time. It's rejection all the time. It's being lied on. It's being lied to. It's stuff that you go through that you can't even put words. I got to a point one day, Sister Harris, where I looked up and I was like, really, God? Have I not suffered enough? And how dare I question him? Who do I think I am that I can question his decision as to how much I need to go through?
Right.
He's the only one that knows this is what I put in you and this is what I need to do to get out what I put into you. These are the holes I need to punch so that your colander is enough to pour out what I put into you. We don't have the right to question God, but let me tell you something. When you have an anointing on your life and God has called you to do something, it's not a one-story deal. It's a lifetime of testing.
Lifetime. That's it, honey. That's it.
And when you tell people your story, they don't understand why you're still serving him. But there's a keeping. There's something on the inside that keeps you. And there is nothing that man can present to me that will make me just turn my back on him like that and come before his people with worldly music with changed lyrics. He's holy, and he deserves better than that.
Yes, yes.
My God,
yes.
my God. We got to come to an understanding that we need to know who it is that we're serving here. We're not serving some glorified man. He's God Almighty.
Oh, yes.
And he's worthy of the best praise that we can give to him.
That's right. That's
people
right.
keep saying, hallelujah is the highest praise. Let me educate you. Hallelujah is level 3, okay? To act clamorously foolish before the Lord. That's what hallelujah means. It means to celebrate God. The highest praise is level 7, and that is a tehillah. That is a song from the heart. And a song from the heart unto the Lord is a song that he puts in you. You can't come to God with a praise that didn't come from his throne. How dare you reach to the world and offer that to God as a praise? That's the praise he inhabits. If you
all
go
right.
and study your word and you go and look up the Greek and the Hebrew, when you see the word praise, when the scripture that says he inhabits the praises of his people,
praise.
If you go look that up, that is the tehillah.
Yes.
The tehillah
yes.
is a song from the heart. That means that you reach down in to your very belly and the praise comes up from all that he is and all that he's been and all that he's done in your life. It's not
yes.
some cheap, reworded song that some crazy person in the world is singing that don't make sense to nobody but you.
Lord Jesus.
I love my God too much to not be angry because how dare you and all the young people that are following her and saying she's an example for us.
No.
And parents, I made this rule years ago, and my son hated me. He hated me, but he loves me now. When the Lord told me get rid of all of your secular music, get rid of all of your secular movies, anything that is not giving me praise, get rid of it. And people say,
that's
you know,
it.
You're too radical. I got rid of everything. And let me tell you something. You got that stuff sitting up in your house. When these people go to the recording studios and they record these songs, they call demons to enter into the song.
That's
so that when you play them on your stereo, it's releasing spirits. You want to know why your child got an attitude when you tell them to take the trash out? Because he listened to Missy Elliott and Jay-Z telling them, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. You need to put in music. Let me tell you what I did to my son when he was a teenager because it got so out of hand. I put him on the street for 2 weeks, and people were saying, you can't put him out. I'm like, he's out because you're going to obey me. And
all
I said, Lord, you're going to have to show me what to do. And the Lord said, put praise and worship on, and don't never turn it off.
All right.
And make it a rule. Dare him to touch the stereo in his room.
All right. Your house.
And it ain't got to be loud and blasting. But I also didn't allow that mess in my house. People come to visit me, family coming, y'all going to spend the weekend, don't bring your Walkmans if it ain't Christian music, and I don't play. I will cut your CDs in half and throw them in the trash, and I let people know before they come here, and trust me when I tell you, a whole lot of Jamarcus's friends' CDs got cut and thrown in the trash because you don't bring that over my threshold.
All right.
My apartment, every place I've ever lived in, it's the Holy Spirit dwells. When people walk in the door, they immediately feel peace. And I know that's God. It ain't Tracy. It's God.
All right.
Okay. I'm not going to dishonor my God by bringing that mess into my house. So you parents out there that are listening to this, you are responsible. Ain't none of that. Well, that's their room and give them their privacy. No, they don't. They're not supposed to have no privacy. You're supposed to be shepherds over them.
That's right.
You control what comes in your house. And let me explain something. My son is 28 years old, and the rule still applies because are welcome to leave whenever you get ready. But it's not just because I'm offended by it, and a lot of it, yes, is because I know you expose the Holy Spirit to the stuff that you expose yourself to if you belong to him. But it is damaging our children. It wasn't enough that they're in the world listening to this mess, but now they're bringing this mess into the church. And I'm telling you, parents, it starts somewhere. If your child is 5 years old, that's not too young.
That's right.
It's not too young. And if need be, go buy some CDs that have the Word of God on them.
They
got it in King James. You can get a CD. I got a DVD. I could just put one DVD in and just let that play throughout your house. It ain't got to be loud so that, you know, you can't hear each other talk, but just let the Word of God flow. You know, when I say praise and worship, I ain't talking about Karen Clark. I ain't talking about Donnie. And Lord knows, I'm not talking about Kirk Franklin. Go out there and get somebody that you know is saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and doing this thing for the Lord and not compromising.
All right.
Because some of this so-called gospel music is as demonic as the secular.
That's true.
They done sold out.
Yes.
You know, I'm sorry to be so long-winded. I haven't given anybody else a chance to talk, but I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Well, you know, what's next? And, you know, you hate to ask that because you know that something else is coming. But come on, y'all.
Yes.
Let's take this thing seriously.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You know, our kids are going to hell.
That's right. That's right. Gonna be blamed. Somebody's gonna be held accountable.
Absolutely.
Yes, he told us to train up our children the way of the Lord, so when they get old, they will not depart from it.
Amen.
You know, even if they wander off, it's still in there.
Right. You'll come back.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
I did it. All of my mom's kids did it. It was 9 of us. All of us, we did the party and scene, and I've never been a drinker, but I've gotten drunk. I don't like alcohol, but I've gotten drunk because I didn't know what I was doing. But, you know, I lived that life, was in the club 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Never left the club before the sun came up, okay? You can't. And I look back now, and I don't understand what the draw was. It's like, what is it that I was doing that was so exciting?
Uh-huh.
Because my mother raised us in the Lord. She taught us about who God was, and she trained us up in the way that we should go. And all 9 of my mother's children are serving the Lord.
Thank you,
you know,
God.
Don't give up on God.
That's right.
Don't give up on your children. And I don't care if they're 40 years old. You still pray for them. God is able.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you for your holiness.
Thank you, God.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you, Lord God, for keeping us grounded in your word, God. Thank you for keeping us balanced in you. Thank you for not allowing us to be compromisers, God, but to stand flat-footed and just be absolutely adamant against this mess that's going on and not be willing to compromise. God, I thank you, Lord God, for people like
Sister
Harris and Adia Lalande and for
thank
Sister Johnson and Lord, just for Pastor Harris and for Lord for every saint in the world that is standing for you, that's taking a stand against this foolishness and not willing, Lord God, to compromise. God, we ask that you would strengthen us even more, Lord God. Give us more righteous indignation. Give us more discernment. Give us more Teach us, God. Teach us all that we need to know. Show us how to reach these people. Show us how to reach, Lord, if we don't get one person, Lord God. Show us how to reach them. Give us the words to say. Give us what to pray, God. When we get on our knees in the middle of the night, speak through us, God. Help us to know what to pray and how to pray for people, God, to be intercessors that don't give up because of the trials and tribulations that we go through. Help us to remember, Lord God, that when we're attacked by the enemy, it's because we're doing the right thing.
Yes, God.
And
yes.
God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness,
you,
God, and for your righteousness,
you,
God, and for never, ever leaving or forsaking us. God, a lot of times we go through stuff and we don't understand. Thank you for helping us to know that it ain't for us to understand all the time.
God.
But it's for us,
God,
to obey you and to do what you said. And to stand on your word before men and not present you as a mamby-pamby, feeble God, but to present you as the holy God, the creator of heaven and earth and all that is good. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the inhabitants and everything that dwells therein.
Thank you, Lord.
You are God and you are God alone, and you don't need help from anybody. You are all sufficient, all knowing, many breasted God. There is nothing you need from us, and there's nothing you need from the world. When you use us, it's to our benefit, not to yours. It's an honor and a privilege to be even to be able to speak to you, let alone to be able to speak for you, God. I come before you unworthy. But I humble myself under your hand, Lord God, that you would allow me to open my mouth to say anything on your behalf.
Yes.
And, Father, if I ever become a fool, just take me out of here. Because I don't even want to have that testimony. When I stand before you, Lord, we don't want to have the testimony that we compromised.
Yes, God.
Lord, it's in the name of Jesus that we just pray and bless you. And, Lord, we lift you up and magnify your name. God, we love you so much.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We enjoyed that, Sister Tracy. You can call us at 818-691-7304, 818-691-7304. Call, are you there? Praise the Lord. Call, are you there? Call, are you there?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yep. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank God for Sister Tracy. Thank God for the church on tonight. I thank God. I really enjoyed the segment about the music. I know that, you know, in my hearing, my pastor has said how music is a universal language, and you can easily be influenced by the music that you hear. And I just thank God on tonight that I've learned as a believer myself to, you know, that I don't always have to have music. I've learned how to turn my music off in my car.
Amen.
And, you know, just ride along and listen to God's small, still voice, you know, not even having to have a TV on in the house anymore. So I
thank
God for that on tonight. You know, just to be able to dwell in God's presence. You know, I listened to all that stuff when I was in the world. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for having godly musicians that's still left in this world who play godly music,
Amen.
You know, that can minister to God's people, you know, and I thank God for the musicians that in my ministry, I thank God for them that they have set themselves apart from this world.
Amen.
And I remember even
thank
that one time that the musician at our church was offered a whole lot of money to go play for this church, you know, and he was able to turn it down. And I thank God just for being able to stand, you know, and to be faithful to where God has placed you. Because each and every one of us have a purpose that God has put inside of us. And the enemy desires to steal that purpose away from us. But I thank God for the Ready Church. And I thank God for
thank
the saints, too, that are still standing in these last and evil days. And who are availing themselves in prayer. And who are calling on the name of Jesus. For those who are lost and dying in this lost and evil world. So I thank God for you all on tonight. Continue to pray my strength in the Lord that I should carry on in these last and evil days. And to God be the glory. God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
God
you
bless
call
you.
Us?
Love you.
Love you too.
Paula, are you there? Paula, are you there? Paula, are you there?
I think we lost that call.
They're right.
Paula, are you there? Hello, caller. I hear you call.
Who is that?
Caller 553. I'm not going to call your home number. Caller, are you there?